Hello again and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Scott Fitzsimmons, and this is a great pleasure for us is to get a chance to talk to Bob Walaszewski from the Plugged In Movie Review, and you are actually in charge of a Plugged In itself, a division of Focus on the Family. It's a wonderful resource that we have here at our fingertips. How are you doing today, Bob?
Hey, Scott. Doing well, and thank you for those kind comments about Plugged In. This is now our like 27th year. We were called Youth Culture, and we actually started out as more of a rock and roll seminar. It's progressed until like now we're better known primarily for our movie reviews, but mm-hmm. We do video game reviews, television reviews, pop charting music, both albums and hit songs.
Yeah.
And we blog and we vodcast and we keep busy. There's five of us trying to keep up with all the media, by the way, but I think we're doing a pretty stellar job with a team of five.
Absolutely. Well, I know that when it comes to that, there's so much that that our kids, our families are being inundated with. It helps to have a resource with people that are kind of going through this, and this is your job, is to bring details and kind of help people make an informed decision about the things that their kids are taking in.
It informs is really the key word here, because if you don't have something like Plugged In, you have only the ratings board to judge. And who knows if their values even remotely line up with your values.
Mm-hmm.
So, here in the United States, for instance, if it's PG-13, it's supposedly acceptable for anyone who's reached their 13th birthday.
Yeah.
And yet that is hardly the truth, because so many of what's classified by the Motion Picture Association of America, or MPAA, I would call R-rated or restricted if I was going to judge. For instance, just a few titles just to kind of make my point.
Yep.
The Backup Plan, The Internship, The Other Guys, The Women, Think Like a Man, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Welcome mm-hmm. Home Roscoe Jenkins, Year One, Yes Man, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. I mean, the list is long mm-hmm. of films that I think, nope, they didn't get it right.
Yeah.
This is not acceptable for a 13-year-old. This isn't even acceptable for a 113-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, and I know that when you're taking a look at that, you're right. You get a preview that obviously is not going to show the tough parts about it, or the parts that you may not want to see. So having somebody helping out with that is definitely very helpful, because I'm a parent of kids that are now growing up, and their friends are talking about watching these movies, and I'm like, you're 7. How are they watching this? And I'm not going to let you watch that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, again, I said there were five of us in the Plugged In team, and many times we've had a conversation that we're screening the film, and we'll get back and say, I cannot believe that the mother sitting next to me had her 5-year-old with her at this film. You know,
yeah.
It's like, what was she thinking?
Yeah.
You know, one time I actually called the mom out on that. You know, I don't like to do it in a, finger into the, thumping into the chest type mm-hmm. way, but just I wanted her to think, and I said, do you ever worry about the content of when you come to screenings like this that might mm-hmm. not be appropriate for her child? And the mother gestured with her hands, like, I'll never forget it, and she said, look around. Look how many other kids are here in the theater. I thought, very telling. She didn't say, you know, you have a good point, and I've
yeah.
really been wondering. I'm very concerned about my my little boy's mind and his heart and his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, do you know anything about this film that I don't know? You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, she went and said, "Look how many others are here." In other words, don't ask me this, because I'm part of many that are mm-hmm. doing this. So it's okay, because we're all jumping off this cliff together.
Yeah,
and I want to say, no, that didn't make it right.
Well, and I know that there are some that surprise you, I'm sure, that come through, which is why you go through this. Now, tell us the process of Plugged In when it comes to, let's say specifically, movie reviews. Do you watch them all? Do you pick and choose which ones that you're going to see?
Well, personally, I do a lot of radio interviews, like this one,
mm-hmm.
and as such, it's hard, not impossible, but hard to talk about movies you haven't seen.
It's true.
So you end up going off of someone's notes. That said, I have done it and probably will do it today as we talk about some of the Oscars, because I have seen 7 of the 9, but I haven't seen 2 by choice.
Okay. Yeah.
So when we get to those, I will be saying, well, my colleague, you know, so it is a bit different. But from a perspective all of us share, we not only we start with an intro in our reviews and we have a conclusion at the end. In the middle, we actually divide content into sections, but it's not all negative. Like we say positive content, you know?
Yeah.
What are the positive messages in this film? Well, a father and a son, you know, reunite by film's end, and there's a very strong message about the relationship need between a father and a son, you know, something like that it might be.
Yeah.
We also have, though, we have negative contents too, language, sexuality, drug and alcohol, spiritual content, and violence. And so once again, now every single family is different, Scott, as you know. Some families just go straight to our sexual content, for instance, and they'll read the conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they really want to know. Because for them, language isn't as big an issue, or violence, if it's not as big an issue. Some families are different. They want to read every single content. You know,
yep.
They read every single word of every single review. So we're just there. We just want to be a resource. We're just glad that people use us, and we have like 1.3 million visits a month. So we know there's a lot of people out there in need of this. And I always wonder if the average person who counted faith as very important to them or extremely important knew about Plugged In, I think our numbers of visits would be well off the map. But
yeah.
We're happy with what we have, but we're looking for more and more people to reach. So.
Now, one of the things, I know you talk about the Oscars. Oscars can tend to be movies that either maybe push the envelope or different things. Are they often movies that you would recommend seeing? Because I don't know that I've seen an Oscar movie in years.
Well, this year, let's back it up a little bit.
Sure.
Approximately 6 years ago or so, the Academy went from nominating just 5 films for Best Picture to up to 10. This year there happens to be 9.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 9 films that are nominated, there's only 2 films that if I was talking to a family member who said, which of the Oscar, I want to go see at least one film nominated for Best Picture, do you recommend anything? I would personally say there's 2 on my list. That means there are 7 films nominated that, in my opinion, are not family-friendly enough to give a thumbs up to people that are close to me. And on the radio, even though in our written reviews, we don't tell people to go or not go. We just give them the information and leave that for them to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
When I do radio interviews like this, I often lean a little bit to say, I don't recommend this film, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not typically how our written reviews spell out. But I take a little bit more liberty because I have more chance to unpack it.
Yes.
To say why I wouldn't recommend that. Now, the 2 films that, in my opinion, have possibility were Darkest Hour and Dunkirk. By the way, basically about the same subject. World War II, the first Darkest Hour is a Winston Churchill film, but he's dealing with Dunkirk. And, of course, Dunkirk is all about Dunkirk,
mm-hmm.
and where you have 300,000 troops on the beaches of Dunkirk, France, and they are trapped. And it looks like they're going to be annihilated by the Nazis until a decree goes forth to ask civilians to leave England,
mm-hmm.
and take their civilian boats and go do what they can to rescue the guys off the beaches. And they do, and basically save 300,000 people from annihilation.
Now, what is it about that makes you say that you would recommend seeing it?
Well, of course, content is the main
mm-hmm.
is the main culprit for me. You know, if Darkest Hour, for instance, is as wonderful as message as it is, if it had some sleazy scene in it, or, you know, well, where didn't see that nude scene coming, where the, you know, I wouldn't be recommending it either, but it mm-hmm. didn't have that. So it was the fact that here was a film that was able to tell a story. We gave it a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness, thinking, you know, probably age 12 on up. And it really kept the content issues at bay. Now, it wasn't perfect. Didn't get a 5 out of 5.
Yep.
But hardly any films do. But it was relatively family-friendly for teens on up. Dunkirk wasn't as family-friendly. I believe we gave that one a 3. Had more language. But even that one, I could say, is on the ball. You know, some families were going to want to pass because of the language, but other families are going to say, I think we can handle that. I think we want to go see this film because we want to go see it's historical, and we want to, because we know it's a feel-good film about the rescuing of all these soldiers.
Well, I know that the history is great, too. But again, I like the fact that, you know, when it comes to understanding your child, you know, a movie that might be good for some kids, they might be all right with it. Some are more sensitive to it, to certain aspects, maybe violence or scarier parts. So I love that about your review, where you take a look into the different aspects, the positives, spiritual content, sexual, violent, all of that. And it really does give parents a little bit more help of understanding, you know, which kids they might be able to let watch something like this.
Yeah. Well, for instance, another nominated film for Best Picture was The Post. Now, it's not on my list of films that I would give a thumbs up to for families, and it's mainly because there was quite a bit of harsh language.
Mm.
That said, I can give the film credit for the story it tells.
Yeah.
It talks about what was eventually to be called the Pentagon Papers. The New York Times had gotten a copy. The Washington Post, which was kind of a fledgling paper at the time, had also got a copy of this, where it looks like government officials had pretty well said the Vietnam War was unwinnable. If it's unwinnable, then why are we sending our young men over to Vietnam mm-hmm. to get, you know, killed?
Yeah.
And the Washington Post faces a dilemma. Do they publish these Pentagon Papers or do they not? And why would they not? Because Richard Nixon, the president of the United States at the time, issued an injunction against the Post and says, you cannot, this is top secret classified information, you cannot go out in your paper with that information. Was it really top secret classified? I don't think so. I think it was embarrassing is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to make a decision to publish or not publish. Meryl Streep's in it. Tom Hanks is in it. They do a great job. This is a Steven Spielberg film. But again, there was so much harsh language. One of the guys on my team used to work for a newspaper. He said, well, that's kind of what we hear in the newspaper world. But that doesn't mean that that's what families need to go
mm-hmm.
hear. Anyways, I say, it probably isn't worth the time or effort because of the language. Some people will differ with me. Again, I can't point to the scripture, thou shalt not go see the Post movie because it has, I can't remember, but something like 15 or 18 harsh profanities.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Well, it's all good information when trying to make a decision. And like we talked about, movies only a part of what you do. TV, music, games, books, a lot of different things for people to take a look at. Now, what are some of the, when you take a look at, what's the next area that you cover off quite strongly? Is it music, TV?
Television is actually our next most popular go-to place,
mm-hmm.
and then music, and then lastly video games. But they're still strong.
Yep.
They're just, you know, the numbers I found that, you know, not as many people are gamers per se as people who want to go to the theater or possibly go to the theater and watch a film and also rent it when it comes out on DVD. So
yeah.
Once the DVDs come out, again, you see the numbers uptick as people go, oh, I want to go see whether we should, you know, rent this film or download it from Netflix. So
now, what are some of the shows that are getting some of the bigger hits or people are more interested in finding out about?
Yeah, you mean as far
on television.
As movie reviews go?
On television.
Oh, on television. I'll tell you, one of for Plugged In, one of our bigger ones, and we invested a lot of time and effort, was not a show you'd find on ABC or NBC or CBS or Fox. The main network was actually a Netflix. Now, of course, Netflix has invested $8 billion just in the last year alone for original programming.
Oh, wow.
And the original programming show that saw a lot of middle school and teenage eyeballs and got very concerned about was a film called, or a TV show series called 13 Reasons Why, 13 episodes, about a young lady who commits suicide. We actually see that very graphically with a razor blade as she's in a tub at the last episode. But before that, we have 12 episodes that then she basically blames, the reason I'm about to do what I'm going to do, and she does it, is because of all of you, and you're all to blame, and here's the 13 reasons why I had to commit suicide and kill myself. We know of at least two copycat suicides that have happened since that show. I think there's probably a lot more. They just haven't made the news, but you can actually Google copycat suicide based off of 13 Reasons Why and find one guy was jumped off a building in Peru, of all places, a high-rise. But it wasn't just a copycat emphasis. It was the copycat of everything else in the show.
Yeah.
There was two very graphic sexual assault scenes. The language would make sailors blush. Our Savior's name was abused many, 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 many times in this show. There was drug use that seemed to be, looked pretty cool. I could see why a bunch of teenagers would want to, you know, do that the way they make it look.
Yeah.
And so we were very concerned with 13 Reasons Why and had a lot of traffic. Even wrote a supplemental guide on for parents, still available, you know, on what, how, because there's a second season of 13 Reasons Why coming, and so it's only going to renew the interest in the first season as well as people picking up and catching the next season.
Well, and you mentioned Netflix. I mean, you look at the top 10 reviews on your page on television, and so much of that is on digital. You know, these digital sources that you can stream at any time, and it's become a lot more accessible for some of these programs.
You know, Glow is another show, about women wrestlers. And I was, now, of course, we, have to review the whole thing. But personally, I can be a bit choosy because I'm not the television guy. We have a guy that's our TV guy. But I'd like to keep up with as much of it. Like, I watched all 13 episodes of 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
And Glow, I was starting to watch it because I knew the popularity. And I got through not even the whole thing. And the sexual explicitness of this show was so extremely over the top, so extremely explicit, that I turned it off. I said, I got it. You know, I can talk about it just like I did and just say, if you're concerned about pornography, you better be concerned if your kids are have a Netflix access to your Netflix account and they're watching a show like Glow, you know.
Well, you know, it's great to talk to you, hear some of the things that people are talking about, but the website, pluggedin.ca, there's so much information to take in. What would you say, again, to encourage somebody listening maybe to take a look at the reviews for movies, TV, music, games as well?
You know, one of the things I like to say is that the God, our Creator, has an opinion about everything product that's ever been made. Every song written, every video game storyline, every movie, every television show. And oftentimes we will consume entertainment without even thinking about that. It's like, oh, but if I don't think we should. I think we need to think the God of the universe has an opinion. So, you know, He doesn't talk to me audibly. But I need to seek out what His opinion would be on this, and if He would like it, I'm gonna consume. I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna play. I'll listen to that song. But if we know that the God of the universe wouldn't, then I think we should stay away too.
Well, it's why we do what we do with music, and it's one of the things we like to share is music that's uplifting and encouraging and something that people feel safe with. So we appreciate what you're doing with that. Thank you so much, Bob. It's great to talk to you always, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you, Scott.
Once again, Bob Walaszewski, Director of Focus on the Families, Plugged In. So much great information, pluggedin.ca, to find out more. That is it for us for today. Coming up next, it is the All Request Lunch. Have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.